When one eats even permitted food for the sake of pure bodily appetite, so the energy that he has expended to eat that food is also lowered in the realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTameis. And the fact that there now exists a realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTameis within him affects a certain certain dimensions of his soul to become connected to the realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTameis. In other words, they descend from their previous status and they assume a status which essentially is inferior to their status. No, the Nefesh HaBahamas. Freie Yid, I don't think it has to do with Freie Frum. There's no Frum a Yidin that eats a kugel or a cholent in a gluttonous manner. I don't know if this point, I don't know, maybe. Huh? The Baal Shem Tov was once Shabbos, and the Baal Shem Tov was sitting with his students, and the Baal Shem Tov said that he wants to show them something, and he asked them to close their eyes and to everyone should place his hands on the shoulders of his friend, of his colleague sitting nearby him. And the two students sitting at the Baal Shem Tov's two sides placed their hands, the Baal Shem Tov placed his hands on them, so they were all connected like one circle. And the Baal Shem Tov again asked them to close their eyes. And suddenly they saw an ox, a shoy, wearing a shtraimel, and eating. It was Friday night. So when they opened their eyes, the Baal Shem Tov said that this is a Jew who happens to be a rabbi. And he's now eating the food of Shabbos. But he's so involved in the food that he lost his human identity and he's become an ox. He assumed the identity of the animal which he is involved in. What happened with the shtraimel? The shtraimel was a Shabbos-dik garment. Since it was a Shabbos-dik garment, that remained in the form of a shtraimel. For everything else became, actually assumed the form of an ox. Although it was Shabbos. Let's continue.
So, if this person would say he has done the might of the Tamagashi, he said that he was awakened, but then he smiled.
Yeah.
The next to this other model.
Yeah.
This person's already gone to the position. I don't think I can be true. I don't think that it should be put into this person's maya. And in economy, in fact, it can be true. And this is what's giving him this makshav to go after Yisurim that's usually found by the it's foreign. It's not.
Yeah, that's what you're asking. So when the Jew now, when a Jew craves for something forbidden, if it's foreign for him or not, Alter Rebbe is saying essentially it's foreign for the Jew. The Jewish animal craves to things that come from Klipas Neigah. The food which is permitted, the things that are permitted, even to satisfy his bodily lust. But he's craving the things that come from Klipas Neigah. Things that essentially from Shalosh Klipos HaTameis, which are not connected to the realm of Kedusha whatsoever, very deeply repressed by the forces the Jew naturally doesn't crave. The Jew does crave that something foreign and alien that has, so to speak, attached itself to the animal of the Jew, but essentially it's not part of his psychological and spiritual anatomy. How does one remove himself from it? By not allowing himself to become indulgent, even in Taivas Hatter, even in things that are permitted for the sake of self-indulgence.
After the situation is.
Yeah.
But then how?
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk. Ach, mikol makoim. Although the vitality of permitted foods eaten out of bodily desire can revert to holiness through the person returning to a state of divine service, but nevertheless, before it has reverted to holiness, before this food has been reverted to the realm of holiness, what is it? It's in the realm of Sitra, Achira, and Klippa. Vigam Acherkach. And even afterwards, even after the person repented and elevated the energy of the food to holiness, Harishimu Mimenu Nishar Davik Beguf, a trace of it, a stain of it, remains attached to the person's body. Why? Liyois kimikol maichol umashkin nasit tekiv damu basa kipsari. Since each item of food and drink that one ingests immediately becomes blood and flesh of his flesh. And since this food, which immediately when you consume becomes part of your blood and your flesh, and at the time of the consumption, the food was connected to which realm? The Shalish Klippas Atmeyas. And this food, which is connected to the Shalish Klippas Atmeyas, becomes immediately part of your blood and your flesh. So in your body, there has become engraved something from Shalish Klippas Atmeyas. Aye, afterwards, the person re-elevates the vitality of the food to Kedusha. That only works for the future. From now on, this vitality becomes part of Kedusha. But previously, the vitality at a certain moment was connected to the realm of Shalosh Subsatmeis, and that has already in the past become his flesh and blood. That's why he says, taketh. It becomes immediately before he brings it back to holiness. And this is true not only in a case where the human being eats food in order to satisfy his bodily appetites and lust, a gluttonous person, but even if a person eats food plainly, not for the sake of heaven and not for the sake of self-indulgence, it's just in the first case the food becomes connected to the realm of Shalosh Klippas Atmeis. In the latter case, it becomes connected to the realm of Klippas Nega, which the person has descended into Klippas Nega, which is lower than its natural objective state of Klippas Nega, because when it comes in contact with the human being who has the potential to elevate it, and the person abused that potential, he lowers it in the realm of Klippas Nega from a higher form of Klippas Nega to a lower form of Klippas Nega. And his body is connected to that Klippa. That is why the body must undergo something known as Chibut HaKever, which means the purgatory of the grave. Purgatory of the grave is mentioned in Rashi and Gemara. In Gemara it's not mentioned, but in Rashi in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis, Rashi mentions Chibut HaKever. It's explained more at length in Zayar, Chelek Beis, Daf Kof Nun Aleph, and in Reb Chaim Vital, Svarim, Sefer HaGegulim, and Sefer HaKavodas. It's an experience that the body goes through after the soul leaves the body. Among other things, this is also part of the rotting and the decomposition of the body after death. The purpose of this process of Chibut HaKever is l'nakoisoi u'letaharoi mitum'osoi shekibel ba'anos elam hazev etanug, in order to cleanse it and purify it of the uncleanliness which it had received from the enjoyment of mundane things and pleasures, mitumas klipas naiga v'sheidin yehudayin, which are from the impurity of the Klippas Nega and of the Jewish demons, the Jewish Yetzirah, which desires permitted matters. And the body, as a result of man's act, has received and has ingested and digested part of this impurity. So the body has to be purified. And that's why it has to go through the experience of the purgatory of the grave. The body itself is not something which is impure. The body becomes impure because it has been impurified through the impurity of the klippos. The body, like every physical thing, its true identity, its true purpose is to mirror and reflect the goodness, the perfection of Hashem. But when the person does not respect the body with the respect it deserves, when the person uses the body as an instrument for something which is foreign to what the true identity of the body is, he impurifies it and it has to be purified. Elim Cain, unless someone, me, one, shaleinene me'elam hazakal yam, who had never derived enjoyment from this world all of his life, Ki Rabbeinu HaKadosh, as was the case with Rabbeinu HaKadosh, such a type of person doesn't have to go through the experience of purgatory of the grave. The Gemara in Ksuvah, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, tells the dramatic story of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's passing. The Gemara says that at the time of his passing, B'Shas P'tirasai, Rabbi raised all of his 10 fingers towards heaven and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, it is revealed and known to you that all my life I have labored and toiled in the study of Torah with all of my 10 fingers. And I have not enjoyed this world's benefits even with my small finger. So a person like Rabbeinu HaKadosh, a person like Rabbi Yehuda Anas, who has never enjoyed worldly benefits, his body has never been impurified, not with the tumah of Klipas Naiga, not with the tumah of Shalosh Klipas HaMeis, not even with the tumah of Klipas Naiga. So this body is totally pure and holy. It has been used only in accordance with its inner divine entity and purpose. It has always mirrored and reflected the transcendence, the godliness of existence. Hence, it's not tummy and it doesn't have to go through the experience of Chibat HaKever. The example that the Alter Rebbe brings from Rabbeinu HaKadosh is not just an example of a human being who actually lived up to the above mentioned standards. But it's more than that. Because Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph, where Chazal tell us, interpret the words of Hashem to Rivka when she was pregnant and there was she had major pains in her womb, and Hashem told her, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, there are two nations in your womb, and Chazal tell us that at the meaning of it, it's spelled Geyim, Shnei Geyim Bevitneich, there are two rulers in your womb, that this refers to Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus was the Roman emperor approximately in the years 150 after the Common Era, after the destruction of the Second Temple, from the descendants of Esav. Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yehuda Anasi, was the leader of the Jewish people at that time, from the descendants of Yaakov. So Shnei Geim Bevitneich, there are two rulers in your womb, concerning referring to Yaakov and to Rebbe and Antoninus, who lived a regal and aristocratic life, the Gemara says, that from their table there have never ceased, not snoin and not chazeres, lebi meisach chamav, lebi meisach shamav. No radishes, not radishes, and not lettuce, not in the summer, not in the winter. At that time, lettuce and radishes, both in the summer and winter, was a unique delicacy. But Rabbi and Antoninus lived a regal life that they enjoyed both of these things all year. It never went over their table. So Tosfos says, how do you say in Ksuvos that Rebbe says, I have never enjoyed the world's benefits even a small with my small finger, when this is from the only human beings in that generation who never had off the table horses, lettuce, or radishes? So Tosfos says that the radishes and the lettuces on the table was not for him, it was for Eichle Shulchanai. It was for people that ate by his table. He never enjoyed it. But the question still remains. That also was an enjoyment. Rebbe says, I never enjoyed the world's benefits. There's enjoyment through consumption. There's enjoyment by having certain things in your house, by having the ability to offer it to other people. It's also a type of enjoyment. So the answer is that was not Rebbe's intention. Rebbe's intention was not that people should come in and should say, wow, look what type of menu this human being offers. Rebbe's intention with having all these delicacies and living a regal and aristocratic life was solely for the sake of heaven, was in order to bring in godliness to the world. It had a transcendental, a spiritual, and a holy purpose. Whether it was to help people, whether it was to bring people closer, etc., etc. So when Alter Rebbe brings the example of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he's telling us that when you talk about someone who didn't derive enjoyment from this world, it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to every day eat a hard piece of bread and drink one cup of water. A human being can also eat things which are pleasurable and which a person derives pleasure from it. Because man's pleasure in life can also become an integral part of his divine service. It's a mitzvah to have pleasure in Shabbos and Yom Tov through meat and wine. Or the example that Alter Rebbe gave in last Perek, when someone eats a delicious pleasurable, fat chunk of beef, and that allows his mind to become more receptive to the understanding of Torah, that is a pleasurable experience, but the pleasure over here is not merely pleasure for the sake of pleasure. The pleasure itself becomes an instrument in the divine service. In that case, not only is the pleasure not negative, furthermore, the human being through that has elevated the food and the pleasure to the realm of godliness, to the realm of holiness. So such a human being certainly doesn't have to go through chibat hakever. However, a person who has not reached that level, who has not reached that state, then his body has been affected, has been tainted through the impurity of shalish klipas atmeis, or just lower klipas naiga, which comes as a consequence of eating food not for the sake of heaven and certainly to satisfy his bodily lust, and it becomes part of the flesh and the blood of the body, so then it has to go through chibat hakever. Rebbe enjoyed that the people coming to his table should eat radishes and lettuce. But the enjoyment over here is not considered an enjoyment from the world, from mundane reality. The enjoyment is a godly enjoyment. I'm saying, he could have eaten it already. Tosfos says that it was for Eichle Shulchane, for the people sitting at the table. It's possible that of that Hanah is much easier to use for divine service than the Hanah of eating. Eating something for the sake of divine service is more difficult than giving away your food to someone else for the sake of divine service. No, the delicacies, the involvement in the delicacies. The emes is the Shalah, Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz, was the famous 17th century great Kabbalist, sage and scholar, prolific writer, lived in Krakow. And his monumental work, Shnei Luchis Abris and Asara Mamoris and Shar Shmini, he discusses this whole concept of utilizing physical foods and substance solely for the sake of heaven. And he brings the story of Rebbe, and in a footnote in Ahagah, he brings the question of Taisvis and the answer of Taisvis, and he says, but this is a deichik dik answer. In other words, this is a deichik dik answer means a forced answer, that it wasn't for him. So the Shalah Taka explained that Rebbe indeed ate himself. It's nine in the Chazar. Shalah doesn't lie. Let's say Rebbe ate it. The reason he ate it was not merely pleasure for the sake of pleasure, in order to satisfy his bodily lust. It was in order, Shalah says, he should have a healthy body, and a good body through which he should be able to serve Hashem better. So therefore, the eating the horse, the radish, the tznayna, the chazaras, is not considered enjoying this world's pleasures, because the act is actually a holy and a spiritual act. That's what the Shalah actually says. They tell the... They tell the story. I want to share with you two stories concerning Taka, the author of the Tanya, Rabbi Yishneir Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe. Once news arrived to his home that a very distinguished guest is arriving, Reb Shleima of Karlin. The holy Reb Shleima of Karlin was a dear colleague of the Alter Rebbe, a student of the Maggid of Mizrich, who was the second generation of who was the second leader of the Hasidic movement after the Baal Shem Tov. But the visit of Reb Shleima of Kalin immediately involved a dispute between the Alter Rebbe's wife, Rebbetzin Sterna, and his daughter, Freitke. What was the dispute? It has already been several years that Freitke took over the kitchen. She was the one who ran the kitchen. Now that such a distinguished guest was coming, an aristocratic, regal meal had to be prepared. Her mother, Rebbetzin Sterna, wanted to retake the kitchen. She wanted to have the merit to prepare the food for such a holy guest. Freitke said, no, the kitchen doesn't belong to you anymore. It's not fair that when it comes just to prepare ordinary breakfasts and dinners, I get the privilege. When it comes to such a distinguished guest, I lose it. It's unfair. So they brought the court case, so to speak, to whom? To the Alter Rebbe, between his wife and his daughter. The Alter Rebbe listens, and he says, Rebbetzin Sterna has the right to prepare the meal, but she should not put in the salt. And since food which is saltless is tasteless, and Freitke will be the one who will be dashing in the salt, so she will be having an integral part in preparing the meal for Shleima. This was the compromise. Okay, they accepted the verdict. The Rebbetzin Sterna prepared the meal. And after decades and decades of cooking, naturally she put in salt. She didn't even think twice. Subconsciously, instinctively she put in the salt. Then came Freitke and put in her dosage of salt. And since that was the only thing she was doing, so she put, you know, she made sure that the salt was there and it was conspicuous. Reb Shleima came, and the dish has been served to both of them. The Alter Rebbe immediately began eating. Reb Shleima took one bite, and he removed the dish. The Alter Rebbe gives a look, and he was certain that they forgot to put in the salt. So he took a little salt, and he dashed a third tenth of salt into the dish. Reb Shleima is not continuing to eat, but polite, he's not saying anything. So after a few minutes, the Alter Rebbe turns to Reb Shleima and he says, why aren't you eating? So Reb Shleima says, why don't you taste the food? Taste the food and you'll see why I'm not eating. It's impossible for the human being to consume. So the Alter Rebbe, who was already almost half finished, takes a spoon, takes a little bit, places it into his mouth, thoughtfully. He contemplates the taste and he says, you know, Reb Shleima, you're right. And he says, from the day I arrived to our Rebbe, Reb Dov Berim is rich, I have lost the taste of food. One of the Hasidim of Reb Shneur Zalman's name was Reb Shmuel Munkus. Everybody once told you a story about Reb Shmuel. Reb Shmuel was an extraordinary Jew, extremely pious, big chassid, had a very powerful sense of humor. There was once a chassidish of Habrengen, chassidic gathering of chassidim in the first generation in Alter Rebbe's times. The chassidim was saying l'chaim on vodka and enjoying the farbeisen, which is the little cake or little delicacies that they use to soften the effects of the l'chaim. And Reb Shmuel Munkus was the host. He wasn't his home, but he was running around. He was giving the l'chaim, he was giving the delicacies. In the middle of the Fabrengen, a beautiful, large chunk of roasted lung arrived from Reb Nosson the Sheikhet's house, Reb Nosson the ritual slaughterer's home, to the Fabrengen. And it was given immediately to Reb Shmuel, who placed it under his arm, and he was not distributing it. 1 hour went by, another hour went by, a third hour went by. People thought it's another one of Reb Shmuel Munkus' shtick. But people, he had his things, but people were getting hungry. And he was refusing. And when people would ask him for it, because the food was running out, always he would have another excuse. Finally, the younger Hasidim, who were intolerant, there was no more food on the table, and they decided to jump him and get it. So they came to Reb Shmuel, they wanted to grab it, and with one twist of his hand, he took the roasted lung, and Gavaldi threw it into the unclean part of the house. And immediately he began dancing a kazatska. So the young Hasidim, who were deeply involved in the Fabrengen, and they were a bit on a high, immediately gathered, what do we do with Reb Shmuel? Such a chutzpah to act. We have to give him something. We have to give him a few fraskin, as they say. Teach him a lesson. Good Reb Shmuel says, no problem. He gets up under the table. They smack him up a few times. They give him a few spanks off the table. And they continue the Fabrengen. Reb Shmuel has to get some more food. He gets a little herring. the little Jews, they were very, very disappointed relative to what they had before. In the middle, a commotion happens. Reb Nosson, the Sheikhet, comes running in and he says, a terrible mistake happened. It seems that the butcher was out of town. So the butcher's wife was running the store and she gave Reb Nosson the Sheikhet to prepare a roasted lung, which was a non-kosher lung. I hope no one ate it. Now the older Hasidim made a gathering. Reb Shmuel is doing Rebbe miracles. Who gave a right to a Hasid to do miracles? Where does he know these things from? Another spanking. So for the second time around, Reb Shmuel was receiving a spank. And then he went off and he said, listen, I'm not a prophet, I'm not the son of a prophet, I'm not a Rebbe, I'm not the son of a Rebbe. I'll tell you. From the first time I went into the Alter Rebbe's chamber, I made a deep resolve that I will not allow my bodily lusts and appetites to dictate my behavior. Suddenly, when this roasted lung came into the home, I felt a very powerful physical lust towards it. And I saw that all of you experienced the same. So I knew that something is wrong. I knew that something is wrong, and therefore I was ready to throw it out. And it's interesting that 200 years ago, when the Alter Rebbe was arrested by the Tsarist Russian government, it was actually 200 years ago in 1798, the day after Sukkot, serious, serious charges that he's rebelling against the government, which we have discussed in our first class concerning the life of the Alter Rebbe and his biography. So immediately the Alter Rebbe went away from his home and he hid. He went hiding in a bar. Because he knew that in a bar no one will come looking for Rabbi Schneir Zalman of Liadi. And who did he go with? He went with Reb Shmuel Munkus. He was in a bar for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, many hours. How long can you stay in a bar? So he turns to Reb Shmuel, who was very close chassid to the Alter Rebbe, and he says, what should I do? Reb Shmuel says, go out of the bar, go home, expose your identity. The Alter Rebbe says, I expose my identity, you know what's going to happen to me. So very, very severe charges. I'll be taken away to Petersburg, imprisoned, and the verdict can be very severe penalties. The opposite of life. So Shmuel says, listen to me then. If you should go and expose yourself, and don't worry about it, because Meman of Shech, as they say, whichever way you look at it, this is what should be done. If you're Takar Rebbe, so you have nothing to worry about. Their bullets will not be able to penetrate you. And if you're not a Rebbe, you deserve it. Who gave you the right to rob away from hundreds of thousands of Jews their pleasure in materialism? Have a good day and a wonderful week. The Alter Rebbe in his teachings, explains time and again, and he educated a generation that was imbued with the consciousness. There's no I. There's no materialism for the sake of materialism. A person, every act of him has to be imbued with a godly intention. So he robbed away from thousands of Jews just enjoying a kugel for the sake of a kugel. So you deserve to be in prison. He went out. He was arrested. And he sat in prison for close to 7 weeks. 7 weeks. And he was liberated on Yutas Kislev, the 19th day of Kislev.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.